Homajnanatimadannasyajnananjanashalakaya chakshurunmuditam dhena tasmai shri gurave namah.
Through Harinam Sankirtan book distribution, prasadam distribution, where devotees are making personal contact with people in France, Italy, UK, Sweden, all over Europe, all over North America, Australia, Africa. Practically we have the planet surrounded. Prabhupada saw to that, but now is time to step up our strategy so that we can envelop the world with the holy names and with transcendental books. I first offer my respectful obeisances to His Divine Grace, Hasi Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, whose vision has made all this possible, not just his vision, but his intent, just by sincerely participating in the Sankirtan movement. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the greatest capitalist. He is ready to back anybody who wants to put their life on the line to expand the Sankirtan movement. We need spiritual entrepreneurs willing to take a risk and who have already ruled out the material world as an option for a place of happiness or for expanding their activities. So that's why I'm very excited to be here with all of you, because you're all in that category. Hare Krishna. My obeisances to Jananda Maharaj, who's a great inspiration to me and to the rest of the world. He's an international treasure. Just by his walking the earth and by his example, he's inspiring everyone to take up Lord Chaitanya's movement. And to all the leaders who are here, Sutapa Prabhu, Hare Krishna, Nitin Prabhu, and Nikhil Prabhu, and all the other Sankirtan leaders, this is sound. It's not that we're just sentimental because Srila Prabhupada liked books, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta liked books. This is actually a means, that is, book distribution is a means by which to change the world. As Prabhupada put it, by distributing mass quantities of books, we'll inject the philosophy of Krishna consciousness into the hearts and minds of the people of the world. How does that take place? First of all, just so we know, the book is not going away. Sometimes there's a rumor that books will not exist in the future because electronics will take over. It's absolutely not true. Industry experts don't say it's true either. Books are not going away. They won't go away. They're much beloved by human society. In fact, some people pay $300 for books. Some of them are handmade. They're cherished items you can hold in your hand, you can put on your shelf, you can worship them, you can look at them. And just as a means of communication, the book still stands supreme, even though society, when the books integrate into communities, they change people's minds. What is the name of the category of energy that the jiva is referred to? Can you say it loud? Tatasta. What does that mean? Marginal. There's so many things you could say, but I say it means open to suggestion. Every jiva you meet, whether it's an animal or a human being, is malleable, they're changeable, because they're tatasta. If they were fixed in a certain category, then there was nothing we could say to them that would move them from one place to another. But the tatasta jiva is just that, is open to suggestion. That's why we take the trouble to go out, and that's why we take the trouble to present the message, because, which means what in Bengali? Two words. Loud. That's not loud. That's not loud at all. Just yell it out. One, two, three. Correct. So the soul's got to hear that. And the way Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said he hears it is through the message of Srila Vyasadeva. He said that's why Vyasadeva took the trouble to write down the Bhagavatam and other literature, especially the Bhagavatam, because when the jiva hears it, then he wakes up. So The printing press is known as the Brihat Madanga. It's louder kirtan. You'll notice on one side of the original scrolls, which were written by hand. In order to write these scrolls that the Goswamis wrote, there's a stylus. It's a little metal implement. Books are just available in boxes. But the technology behind it has developed over many, many years. Originally, it was a painstaking task. You had to push the stylus onto the palm leaf, and that would make an indentation. And then after, of course, you wrote the lines, as you see here in this little scripture. Can you see that? This is done by hand. The palm leaves would be placed in the sun, and the sun would then bring out this dark area, and then you could read it. And of course, it'd have to be stuck together. And that's how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transferred the Brahma Samhita. That's why we have it today. He took the original manuscript from the Adi Keshava temple and then made it available to all his most intimate devotees. And that means that first books that came out from the printing press were the Bible, and that started to transform the world as the writings of Christianity started to make it around the earth through the written word. The Royal Bible Society also improved on the printing press. Originally, that's what the printing press was for. It was for Bibles. And then it started going to all kinds of other venues. Incidentally, the original Gutenberg Bibles were written on parchment. Do you know what parchment is? It's animal skin. It takes, to make one book, it would have taken about the slaughter of 40 goats to make one Bible at that time. It's just kind of ironic, I felt. They had to slaughter 40 goats to make one Bible. But in any case, it was parchment. Entries to write things down. In fact, they have done so, and then they've been endeavoring to make paper and make the technology better and better. Why? They're transformative. Who here has heard of the theory of evolution? Nirkula has heard of it, and then four other people. Evolution? Okay. Who here has a copy of Origin of the Species? One person. Are you a scholar? You collect books? Who else has one? Not many people. Who here has ever read the book in your whole life? Yet you've read it. But we all know about the theory of evolution. Why? Because that book went out into the world. When somebody organizes thoughts, writes them down, especially in a book, and then the book goes out in the world, the seeds spill out, idea seeds, and they embed themselves in the minds and hearts of people all over the world. Nowadays, if you ask somebody about evolution, they'll say, of course, evolution is true. It came from a book. Therefore, until you expose it to the sun, correct? Yeah. I figured if you have an Origin of the Species, you must know these tricks also. So then they were reconstituted and distributed to the masses. Before he got out of prison, the revolution was waiting to happen because people had read what he wrote. The American Revolution, sorry to bring it up, Common Sense was a pamphlet that was written by Thomas Paine. Today it stands as per capita, the best-selling book of all time. It's never been equaled. Because everybody in the colonies bought this book. Bought it. They had to pay for it. And I don't know what his distribution system was. I haven't looked into it that far. But research and all historians that I've found agree. The reason that the American Revolution started was people were galvanized by reading this pamphlet. Common sense. Sri Brahma Samhita, Krishna Karnamrita painstakingly gave out these copies. You'll notice this picture. Where do you recognize this from? Where have you seen it before? Prabhu?
Brahma Samhita.
And do you notice the picture of Brahma? Look at it carefully and tell me if there's anything anachronistic about the picture. Who said that? Yes. Why is that anachronistic? Because where did he go to a print shop at the beginning of creation, right? This is the beginning of creation, apparently. And he's holding a book in his hand. Rabindra Sarup Prabhu wrote the foreword to my book, Our Family Business. And he told me in his research, he found that our sampradaya is called the sampradaya of the book. And that's why Brahma is normally depicted by the Gaudiya Vaishnavas as holding a book in his hand, to represent the sampradaya, meaning literally that we're passing on the greatest gift. You could say it loudly because of the way the words form. So let's just emphasize these things. It'll help, okay? What's he writing?
A book.
That's better, yes. Okay, who is this? What's he holding in his hand?
A book.
All together, one, two, three.
A book.
Correct. Okay, who's this? What's he kneeling in front of? And who is this? He's sitting under a tree. What do you think he's writing? Correct. Who is this? Yes, so what are they famous for? Correct. And who is this? What's he posing with? Correct. Who is this? Oh, by the way, what's that behind him? Scholar of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, a secular scholar, but he very much appreciated our Krishna consciousness movement because he was vitally interested in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. He saw how it was spreading. In his essay entitled Institutionalizing Prema, he writes that the institution, we hear a lot about the institution, sometimes in negative terms, sometimes in positive terms, but he gives a definition of an institution, which I find very helpful. Hopefully you will too. Tell me if you like this. He said, an institution is the means by which one transmits culture across time and geography. An institution is the means through which we transmit culture across time and geography. And he gives a definition of culture. He says culture is that which the people with that, and the other, he says, is the book, Vaishnav literature. He calls that the soft institution. And he goes on to say that of the two, the soft institution, the Vaishnav literature, is more effective at transmitting culture across time and geography. It's the most effective means by which we do this. In other words, books carry our culture, the very clear knowledge of how to perform devotional service from house to house, from town to town, from country to country, and it does so over many decades. Books outlast people, and they stay around in human society, and the seeds spill out into human society. They embed themselves, they grow, and they allow the culture of Gaudiya Vaishnavism to flourish, not just now, but in 100 years, in 500 years, in 1,000. That means anything that you heard so far that you found useful, that you found real, right, or valuable. Hare Krishna. Yes, I'm glad you picked that up, because I'm really feeling that after seeing the way books are produced that we can give human society, that anybody could give. Thank you for that. Yes, Prabhu.
I really like the point about the statistics or the quotations you showed about how the printed book is still very powerful and has a future. And I don't know if you could comment, but we often hear amongst devotees who are also thinking about how to expand the movement, that if the Acharyas or Srila Prabhupada was here now, then he may focus more on the internet or social media or the kind of prevailing technologies and books are. Were at the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur a powerful medium, but now not so much so. So it was just interesting you showed those quotes, and I don't know if you can say something extra about...
The fact is, for instance, according to Seth Godin, who's one of the biggest and most successful marketers and kind of marketing gurus, he's written over 25 books that have all been bestsellers on marketing. That it's, for instance, he says, when you're writing a book, it's fine to go out and disseminate your ideas, even as you're writing it, on social media. And sometimes people think, don't let the cat out of the bag, wait till the book comes out. He says, even as it's going out into the world, people still want the book. They still want the paper copy. It's almost like there's musicians going all over the world. They're making music. You can get it digitally, obviously, anywhere. But they still want to go and see the artist when he or she comes and be close. The book doesn't become irrelevant as the information passes on. There's something aesthetically pleased to Vairagya. We should use everything and continue to expand on all levels. Couple more? Yes, Prabhu. Yes. Yeah, very true. That if you look at the imprint certain books make on society, you'll find that it's profound. And the effect goes on for many, many years afterwards. And probably floated all the way to Florida. Somebody picked it up. It was verified 103 years old. Little message. Who knows what they said? Wasn't anything transcendental. But it says, hi, here we are 103 years later. So books are like that too. They go out and they float around until the right person picks it up. Okay, so next I'll bring attention to this logo that Prabhupada noticed. This is from Sherman Williams Paint Company. I believe they're based in America. And he saw this logo, Cover the Earth, and he said, that should be our motto also when it comes to Sankirtan book distribution. So we intend to create a book distribution tsunami. Tsunami is a wave that has a lot of power behind it. It's actually, it doesn't look like this picture so much. It looks like a normal wave, but it just keeps on coming. It doesn't stop. There's force behind it. So one of the ways, and I gave this pre-tsunami, well, first thing is by being dissatisfied. Do you all feel dissatisfied? Good. Okay. Because... there are other organizations, for instance, the Gideon's Bible Association. They're more enthusiastic, apparently, than we are. At least they're more organized than we are. How does that make you feel? Dissatisfied. Good. I'm glad. The Jehovah's Witness, 70 million copies every 4 months in 327 languages. They print their own, they make their own paper. They make their own ink. They have their own printing presses. And they have... an organization of people all over the earth, during which when their monthly magazine comes out, the magazine makes it out to millions and millions of people every month because they're so organized and it's so in place. And they bring in thousands and thousands of members regularly because of that touch. Person, your town and covering your continent. And that's the way we intend to go. Community by community, then continent by the continent, and cover the whole world. So we can do this. Humans can project and see something that's beyond what they can see right now. Srila Prabhupada, what was his way of thinking and speaking? Somebody read that. Prabhu, would you read that out loud with the microphone?
We must expand more and more unlimitedly.
I like that. More and more unlimitedly. I mean, unlimitedly is good enough. As Prabhupada said, more and more unlimitedly. So we must expand more and more unlimitedly. And, you know, Prabhupada writes in the Adi Lila that our only business is to go on expanding the preaching unlimitedly. So if you're thinking, like, what should I be doing in the Krishna consciousness movement? And by the way, why am I feeling bored? And how's it going to be possible to infiltrate the Western culture? Impossible. So he must have meant this. Yeah, well, that's a limiting belief system. So if you have a limiting belief system, that's your problem. My Madanga teacher, Krishnaprabhu, told me once, he said, when you're learning Madanga, if you come to the point where you say, I'm finished, that's as far as I can go, then you're finished. That's what it is. So we don't have to hold limiting beliefs, in other words, because we have the biggest backer in the world, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's a venture capitalist. And anybody who wants to invest in this product of Sankirtan and spread it all over the world, you could restart the Hare Krishna movement anywhere. You just need a dusty little garage somewhere, like Steve Jobs started in his garage, like Hewlett and Packard started in their garage, like Srila Prabhupada started in a dusty little room, and then you break up the box at the end of the day. Have you ever done that? How's that make you feel? Nice. And you can go to sleep thinking, where did all those books go? Where are they right now? Not only that, you can count. How many was in the case? 16. How many are out there? 16. How much money did I bring in? 400 pounds? You know, you can keep track of it. And whatever you can keep track of, you can increase. That's one of the great geniuses of human beings. Once they can track something, they can figure out how to make it better and keep increasing it. So we can do that with book distribution also. Okay, everyone please stand up for 1 second. Okay, on three, please raise your hands as high as you can. Try to touch the tea and say, Gauranga. Take a deep breath. On three. 1, 2, 3. Gauranga! One more time. 1, 2, 3. Gauranga! It's a good topic, right? Okay. If you can hear me, raise your hand. If you can hear me, raise your hand. Hare Krishna. Prabhupada used language when he talked about book distribution that he didn't always use. He did in some cases elsewhere, but it's very consistent. If you'll notice, please read this. Really? It's cut off, huh? Always remember our first business, preaching and distributing literature, never mind we have to live under a tree. So, you know, I like to begin with benefits-based marketing. What can book distribution do for us? And remember, I'm presenting this to the GBC. So what can it do? Like, can I just stay here? And I always notice in seminars, when I have a big seminar, like there's 150 people there or something, and we're ready to go out. And then people start checking in like 5 minutes ahead of time. It's like, you know, my mom just called. She needs a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I got to go. I mean, the mind could come up with like a million reasons why, like, just not right now. So if one's able to actually walk out the door and face that insecurity, that feeling that I don't know what's going to happen, that's a good zone to be in. That's where you actually grow in Krishna consciousness, when you don't know what's going to happen next. I mean, look at Brahma. He manages the universe. That's a difficult task. One day he was sitting there wondering how to get the earth, which had fallen out of its orbit, down into the nether regions of the universe. And he's troubled by this. And meditating, praying to the Lord. And when you're uncomfortable, when you're in your comfort zone, that's a good place to be. So book distribution also inspires us because we see how Lord Chaitanya's movement is viable when we take it out to the people. Is there enough air in here? Can more air be pumped into there? Like oxygen. Do we have an oxygen tank that can come in? I've read theories about this, that the brain needs oxygen in order to think. Okay. So book distribution is high sadhana. Please say that.
Book distribution is high sadhana.
Correct. So it's also beneficial for our whole movement because a rising boat lifts all, a rising tide lifts all boats. It's a way that, there's a way that Prabhupada pointed this out in his seven purposes of ISKCON. The seventh purpose, he says, would be distribution of literatures, which he says will fulfill all the previous principles. When he won, the traveling Sankirtan parties began. And these are a mainstay of book distribution in our movement. And the lifestyle that it takes to sustain this is extremely important, especially in the formative years of devotees who have joined the Krishna consciousness movement. And here are some of the principles that have been very successful around the world for expanding book distribution. One of our laboratories has been in California, ISKCON of Silicon Valley, where the devotees let me preside sometimes. And then there's also North America, which has been an experiment unto itself. And I'll tell a little bit about how that's worked out. And then there are many pockets around the world, other countries and everything, where some of these principles we're experimenting with these principles, and they've been very successful. So one is a team-based model. A senior devotee called us and said, "You can't do that." He said, "Why not?" He said, "Prabhupada didn't do that. He encouraged competition." So the devotee who answered the phone said, "Okay, compete against us." And in the last 4 years, we defeated everybody. Our little temple at ISV, and I'm only saying it for effect, even though it's true, has grown from from a few devotees to now we have 150 devotees going in Sankirtan. They gave over $500,000 to the BBT last year. And I dare say that's almost triple what the party, the person who called us several years ago and said, "You can't do this." And we said, "Compete. We'll compete with you. We'll do it like this. You do it like that. Let's see who wins." So there is what I find in the team-based model is that a lot of people want to get involved because they feel that they can be part of the system. Honor the person, even the little person who does a tiny little bit. And by the way, everybody knows who's doing bigger than others, and they glorify them. There's no loss there. Living entities are vitally aware of who's doing what. They keep track. But at certain times in history, I find that a team base works better than others, and I think this is one of them. Although both can coexist and go on and be fruitful. Was that pretty balanced? Kinda? Yes? Okay, thank you. So the other is goal-driven. Does that show up on the screen, goal-driven?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to have goals. And they have to, Prabhupada wrote about this to one of his leaders, Karandar Prabhu. He told him that you should create an environment in which devotees want to do service. He said the environment should foster service that's individual, spontaneous, and voluntary. And individually is when you lose a little sleep. Like if you set a new goal for yourself. Let's say you were doing 100 books a month, right? And let's say you decided you're going to do 120 books. That night you're going to go to sleep and you're going to think, how am I going to do that? And why did I commit to it? Because now I'm going to have to stay outside my comfort zone for a while. That's where we grow. And that's where we find out that Lord Chaitanya is backing us. Because every time you make a reasonable goal to increase, then what happens is, and you commit to it, you have to commit, and say, I'm going to do or die. And once you say, I'm going to do, then Lord Chaitanya comes in and he starts sending resources that you didn't know were there. But don't get comfortable. Once you hit the goal, you have to make a new one. Prabhupada said, always make a fresh challenge. Because the tendency is, once I hit it, I go, okay, that's good. We're good now. Once you say you're good, you're finished. That's it. You can't grow anymore. You have to constantly be like that. And everyone who was here when Prabhupada was here knows that we lived in constant tension, spiritual tension, because he was always coming into the room. In a similar way, in communities around the world, where there's no oxygen. What is the oxygen? When you go out into the world, you feel that anxiety, that how am I going to do this? And then you see that it happens by Lord Chaitanya's arrangement, and you witness for yourself the internal spiritual potency. Then you bring that excitement back in. That's the oxygen being drawn into the lungs of the organization. And when you go out, you take all the rumors and all the limiting beliefs out the door with you. You walk out the door and say, you can't come with me. They get expended and they go back and get absorbed into the ether and they're gone. And if the breathing doesn't take place, if the devotees aren't going out and experiencing it for themselves, then you get what we had about 10 minutes ago in here, was no oxygen. The brain starts to go down. And you start thinking, when's this guy going to stop talking? And is there a place I can... This is what we do in our movement. And the Jehovah's Witness, you know, that's their program. Everybody goes out. When you become a Jehovah's Witness, you go out. When you become a Mormon, you go out. And what we do when we become Hare Krishnas is we go out. And that's where we live. We live outside. Inside, we just rest. But we go out, and that's where we live. So everybody can join. We had a while back an experiment of developing kids' sankirtan. And I'll just mention before I go into that when everybody gets involved, it's a lot more fun. And it's a lot more stable. If you have a group that's dedicated to doing 100% of their service doing book distribution, and maybe there's 10 people there, and two of them decide to stop for various reasons, or to be done. A lot, each doing a little bit, because that's what everybody ends up doing, is a little bit. So we have different programs like the monthly Sankirtan Festival, MSF, which is now practically on every continent of the world, where there's a weekend. This is the way it starts. There's always mission creep. But when we start off, it's we create a time deliberately amongst the GBC temple presidents, temple leaders, so that there's a time and space where everybody in the whole community, when I say whole community, that means everybody. Who's everybody? Let's name everybody. Categories.
Fathers.
Fathers, okay. Any other kinds of people?
Mothers.
Kids.
Temple management.
What kind of dog is that? That's a really nice dog. And by the way, what are those books? The books on yoga. What's the dog's name? Yogi. We put Yogi on the Sankirtan newsletter. I don't know if anybody noticed, but there was a dog on there for a little while. Can dogs go out? Yes, they can. Shivananda Sain proved it. So everybody gets to go out for the MSF. It's a time and space when the whole community comes in. There's cooking to be done. There's troop movement to be organized. There's spots to be discovered. There's permits to be pulled. There's books to be packed. This is what we do in our corporation here. So we put together these kinds of events so that everybody can go out and have a comfortable experience where they're out together having fun, meeting the people who see us as ambassadors of goodwill, and then they come back in and they bring such energy into the temple. And by the way, when NASA puts up a rocket, the biggest achievement on the calendar, and it can't be moved by anybody or any other thing, it's there. It's tattooed onto the calendar. And everybody goes out on that time. The entire organization grows together, and it becomes better, more efficient. Kanishta Adhikaris, who are notorious for complaining and spreading rumors, turn into Madhyama Adhikaris, who are famous for thinking about how to spread the Sankirtan movement. Which would you rather have? A, Kanishta Adhikaris spreading rumors and complaining, or B, Madhyama Adhikaris who can't go to sleep at night because they're thinking about how to spread the Sankirtan movement? Okay, let's vote. A? How many votes? Okay, B. Vote. Straw vote. Okay, the B's have it. We win. So monthly Sankirtan festival flat out works, and it's an opportunity for everybody. We're doing them all over the world. Remittance of 0.6 million, which is not enough really to maintain a BBT, with 41 temples involved, to over $2 million to the BBT in 2017, and 71 temples reporting. So teamwork works. And here's the word glocal. Everyone say glocal.
Glocal.
Glocal means reflecting or characterized by both local and global considerations. So several years ago, the local GBCs were to develop a plan for how to increase book distribution in their area. So in other words, the GBCs were all together and they were looking at one another saying, you know, we have to do something to increase book distribution. So this was a resolution that was passed. Every GBC should take responsibility for their zone. But how? I mean, what are they going to do or say, right? So then in 2017, we began introducing this idea of glocalism. And this was another, see there on the left, is that visible?
Yeah.
Clear? Nicole. And then we look at the full continent. Is the full continent on track to hit its yearly goal? And then we look at the whole world. Is the whole world on track to hit its goal? So here's how we've been doing recently. Now this is because we have a team together that is measuring. We're doing the best we can to pull together all the statistics that we can to measure how we're doing worldwide. And the better we get at that, the more we'll have accurate measurement. So here's where we are so far as far as our growth overall in ISKCON. As far as world literatures in millions, and this is from reports from the World Sankirtan Newsletter, which is not very accurate. Why? Because you're free to call in your scores or not, and nobody will come knocking at your door and saying, rate of about 1%. What do you think of that? Huh? You're dissatisfied? Me too. That's not going to get it. 1% is when an economy is growing at 1%, the president or the prime minister gets kicked out of office because people are so dissatisfied. 1% is abysmal. So that's not very good, right? Say, not very good.
Not very good.
Better get it fixed.
Correct.
So here's world remittance. This is measured in world remittance. This is more accurate. We're polling the various BBTs, and we're trying to pull them all together so that they give us accurate information of how many books are being purchased, how much cash is coming in, because dollars don't lie, or pounds, sorry. When they come in, they come in. When they don't come in, you didn't send it in. Too bad. It doesn't get counted. So according to this, over the last 5 years, we've had an annual growth rate of about 3%. With some ups and downs, but over time, it's been about 3% growth. That's still pretty small. So temples, 53 devotional communities around the world that didn't give one single, what is it called here?
Pence.
They didn't give one single pence to buy books from the BBT. And what do we call that? Not very good. You better get it fixed. So then we have under 500 pounds. Look at that big area, 32. What's 500 pounds? You got that much in your wallet right now, every one of you. 5,000 pounds. Okay, in the car you have that much. Anybody can go get, if you go get me 5,000 pounds or I'll, you know, or I'll blow up your house, you'll go get it. You know, so these are also, of course, they're extenuating circumstances, maybe in a war zone or something like that. But there's a lot of temples in that. There's 108 temples in there that are giving less than what is pocket change to buy books and distribute them. So this is half the world. Look at that pie. It's half the world are either doing nothing or are just you know, throwing a little change. Dollars, excuse me, million pounds. It's not a big deal if you're organized. And so there's what we call low-hanging fruits. There's a lot of places that haven't got the news yet that our movement's about distributing literature, and they can be informed and just let them know that this is what we do. And they can be helped also with some training. Here's three temples that accounted for 20% of the world remittances to the BBT. Delhi, Mumbai, and ISV account for 20% of the total remittance to BBTs in general, having each one of those having given over $500,000 to BBT. So the low-hanging fruit philosophy. There's a lot more to say about statistics, but I'll just see if you're even interested in it. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Challenges?
Are these figures based on what people actually selling the books to the public? Are these figures based on...
So that BBT and ISKCON has this symbiotic relationship. The BBT is a book trust. Prabhupada started the book trust. It's independent from ISKCON. It's an independent trust. However, the beneficiary of the trust is ISKCON. And the customer, main customer, I would say, by far, is ISKCON. So ISKCON buys the books. And 50%, Prabhupada had a formula that the books would be marked up 50%. So if it costs $3 to make a book, then Prabhupada mandated that the book be sold by the BBT to the temples at $6. And then there's a profit realized there. 50% of that profit goes into a fund which is specifically meant for building new temples and restoring other temples. He gave to a few other different projects like the BI and a few other things, but he also very specifically said not to give to certain things and gave a very narrow, hundreds of thousands of dollars in profit from the profits the BBT gets every year, for instance, to the TOVP and to other kinds of projects like that. That's not what you asked, but I answered the first part of it in the preamble. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, you mentioned about the whole congregation should go out. You mentioned pujaris, temple management, leaders, men and women. So
actually, just to be clear, Prabhupada said that everybody should go out, including the pujaris and cooks and everybody. And even in the big temple, we were at 340 West 55th in New York. We had about 300 devotees packed in that temple. And Prabhupada, he gave an edict. He said everybody should go out. He said one person can stay back and take care of the deities. And when that started, I was a brahmachari at the time, and I thought, I saw women going out with their baby carriages with Sri Shapanash.
The question is, how can we motivate these people? How can we give them like a spiritual injection? Come, let's do it. You will see, it's very nice.
Well, the Shastra says living entities just want to have fun. Anandamaya Mayo Bhyasat. It means living entities, that's what they're looking for, a little fun in life. And so if you make it fun and attractive, for instance, you know, everybody sees that the devotees are having fun going out together and that they're not overly stressed and that they come back alive and they're having nice kirtans and prasadam and they're sharing stories when they come back. So what we do for the MSF, we just did one, the first series of MSF started in Alachua recently. And so what I do when I go to help inaugurate an MSF, first, it has to be on a list. The temple has to be on a list, what we call MLS. And that stands for monthly increase this year. And then we can do it. So then we make it fun. You know, there's a date, and for the first several MSFs, we tell the devotees who get together, and I think in Alachua, 80 devotees came for this, to go for the first one. And we say, we're not going out to distribute books. We're just going out to touch the pavement. Because troop movement is the hardest part of the MSF. It means just moving all the devotees, how many of them there are, from the temple community or wherever they live, to the spots we've designated. So once they get out there, the various teams, we tell them, you just touch the pavement and you're done for the day. You don't have to do anything else. Everything else is extra. Plus, we give a lot of training in the beginning, because this is one of the reasons people hesitate to go out. They don't know what to do or say. And then, where we can share realizations, we pass the microphone around. It's unbelievable what devotees say. These things are recorded. And you can't make this stuff up. I mean, people who say, when we were in recently in Illinois, there were at least four people who said, you know, I was scared, I didn't want to go out, I never thought I'd distribute books, and the way they were acting before they went out, I thought they weren't going to either. And then they had these stories, I met this person, and I said this, and I said that, and he gave me $50, and, you know, I'm a new person, and, you know, I'm going to dedicate my life to book distribution. And when these kind of stories start coming out, and there's nice prasadam for everybody, and there's this warm glow that happens when all the devotees go out together, then it starts catching on in the community. And also, we don't insist that everybody goes out. There's different ways you can participate in the MSF. One way is by going out. Another way is by, if you want, you can donate. A lot. We need that too. We need people on the sideline. You know, encouraging everybody. So we create this atmosphere. There's a no-fail atmosphere. You can't go wrong on this. And so everyone said, what the heck? I'll just go out and try it. I might as well. All my friends are going out, too. We had in Chicago, when we did this, we started, I think we had almost 100 devotees go out. More?
92.
92 devotees went out for the first MSF. We had to... so many devotees wanted to come out for it, we had to come up with a whole system. It took us a month to put together the whole thing for the troop movement, for one day, a month of organization amongst three of us. And so we rented a bus. We got a big bus, and then there was a van that went out to the five spots we had, and the van went around and set up the spots. We had a little table, place for Harinam, book distribution, and a prasadam distribution. And so the van went, set everything up in advance, and then everyone got on the bus, able to sell Bhagavad Gita to anyone, anywhere, at any time, and I guarantee money back from the seminar, from doing it. So we dropped everybody off, and I went around to all the spots to look, and I thought so many people would be on Harinam, and a few people would be on book distribution. We couldn't get them to do the Harinam, unfortunately. They all wanted to go out and try the book distribution, up and down the street, distributing books. They were so excited when they came back that they had been able to sell a Bhagavad Gita. When we met in that prasadam hall and everyone shared their idea, there was an explosive environment. And I saw devotees, temple devotees looking on just with their mouths hanging open, going like, wow, this has never happened before. This is amazing. It's so exciting. But that's what we do. That's our life. And if we do it regularly, at least once a month, and then it starts to spread, and it has residual effects on the whole community. Prabhu, did that answer your question?
Yes, thank you very much.
Make it fun, and make it easy. Your own self. In other words, look towards the individual goals, and then grow by sharing nationally, and then internationally scale the success that you're having for the international market. And so we have some... human resources to help. There's BBT Marketing Services. We're developing teams of devotees around the world to work together, to collaborate, and share best services. Training is important. Sharing best practices and having all kinds of resources. And for instance, we have the NASLT, which is the North American Sankirtan Leaders Team, which has been very active. There's the newly, actually also the ISLT, Indian Sankirtan Leaders Team, which is very active. And we're getting good traction there. We also recently started the Global Sankirtan Leaders Team, which what you're doing, you'll never improve. So be meticulous about statistical analysis. Where attention goes, energy flows. If you're into it, it'll happen. And your energy will go there. If the leaders aren't into it in any given community, it's not going to happen. It'll only go so far. A lot of people each doing a little bit. That's a theme you've had here.
Here are the four laws of book distribution. And if you follow these four laws in any community or individually, then you'll be successful wherever you go.
Having fun, they're in there skating and skating and skating until their toes bleed or something like that. You know, so when it comes to the fundamentals of sadhana, think Olympics. Think about trying to make the Olympic team, like putting that much effort that other people put into other kinds of disciplines. If you invested in your japa, then all your problems will be much easier to deal with, and you'll get a taste in first place. The third law is one we always say twice because it's so important. Please say, the more you show, the more you sell.
The more you show, the more you sell.
One more time.
The more you show, the more you sell.
Little jivas wandering around the universe looking for stuff. And if you don't put up a sign that says, take a Bhagavad Gita, or actually show him a Bhagavad Gita, he's going to buy a Coca-Cola. Because Coca-Cola is putting billions of dollars into advertising, and they say, little jiva, if you drink processes that are available in the world today, by which people are selling sugar water as a bottle of happiness. They've built such a huge organization. They have billions of dollars at their disposal. Why? Because they're organized. So if we do the same thing, we'll have the real thing to distribute all over the world, and it will continue to expand. And there's a lot to be said about these basic principles. I've said a lot of it in the book, Our Family Business. I wrote a whole chapter on each one of these, and the one for organizers just happened to be more upwardly mobile and educated than most people in the world. They're also, they believe in Krishna, and in the Shastra, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Karabhajana Muni says that people will take birth in India specifically to help the Sankirtan movement. So Indians are here to help the tsunami wave of book distribution and Sankirtan inundate the world. Not only that, they're everywhere waiting for us to bring them a set of Srimad Bhagavatams. Will other people take sets too? Obviously. Distribution and education. This is our tagline. And when we present this, people are very interested and eager to join the Gomatsya and become part of it. They can take a set of Bhagavatams and keep it in their home and help to preserve the knowledge and read it themselves. They can then also give referrals for other people. And they do that. If you ask them, who are the 5, 10 other people in your life who will take a set of Bhagavatams on your recommendation, they'll give you a list. And the third kind is the kind who will want to actually become more... Monday. Was anybody there? Nirgula was there. It's a huge retreat. Over 2,000 devotees come. We have a book table outside. So I mentioned this Bhadra Purnima that you could sign up. You could take a set today. It would be distributed on your behalf for the Bhadra Purnima. By the class was over, I had to talk to Sachinandan Maharaj for a little while. It was like 20 minutes. By the time I got outside, our distributors were standing back there in complete ecstasy. I said, what's going on? They said, we just sold 31 sets. It should be given away in a golden throne. So everyone will not want to take this, and it doesn't matter what culture they're from, they'll take a set of Bhagavatams. So this is going into full launch in the middle of next month, leading all the way up to September 24th. And the goal worldwide is to sell 10,000 sets of Bhagavatams. I dare say several thousand of them will be done here in the UK, right?
Yes.
Say yes.
Yes.
Say yes, Hari Bol.
Yes, yes, Hari Bol.
Thank you. Possible? Yes. Could happen.
Yes.
Right? Could happen. Then what you do is you hand them the book in Portuguese, you hand them the card, and then if you know Iyengar yoga, you stand in mountain pose and you don't move and you stay there and you don't say a word. You wait for them to read it, and they know that you know that they know what it means. This is a major psychological advantage. And then there's devotees, a good portion of them were, who don't know anything about Indian culture or what to speak of, knowing how to speak Orion or Bengali or Hindi, sold 5,000 books, sold 5,000 books. We've collected over a lakh of rupees. And so how did we do that? And how did they do it? How did Chinese and Japanese approach Koreans? They just went up to them, handed the book in their language and showed them the card, did the mountain pose, the Iyengar yoga, and waited for the lot of people with these languages. Not only take them with you and be ready with these language cards, but go look and find where they live. You know how you do it? You just ask Siri. I was just in New York. She knows everything. I was walking around, you know, with some other leaders,
And, you know, we're just checking out all the neighborhoods because we're trying to expand the Sankirtan movement there. And I just kept asking Siri, you know, who lives in this neighborhood? And she told me exactly what the ethnic makeup was. We know, and anywhere you go, you can just house that. Not only is the house not the same and the people, the whole neighborhood's ruined. These are huge explosions of transcendental energy. Once that goes in there, it can't be taken back. It is extremely powerful. People, not only they have to move stuff out of their house to move the Bhagavatam in. They have to start changing their habits. And when people come into their house and they see it over there, they go, hey, what's going on? They have to, all right, I'm a Hare Krishna. You have to admit it when you have a Bhagavatam set. You can't, family, I never had any kids following me around. I was one of the youngest amongst my god brothers and god sisters because I joined young, and so didn't have a lot of younger god siblings. And then I was a brahmachari for 13 years, and I didn't even give the time of day to kids. And then I became temple president in ISKCON of Silicon Valley, and there's more kids there than I've ever seen in my life anywhere. And not only that, people who... So I was still at the gate. She looks at me and she goes, all right, how much is it? Not only that, another door we went to, the door, it kept the knob was turning, but it didn't open. Finally it opened, and there was a person in there, apparently with dementia, and there was a caretaker. And so, you know, we put a book through the door, and the person with dementia grabbed onto it, and then the caretaker was trying to push it back out the other way. But the person, the patient, wouldn't let it go. And there was a struggle back. He tells, I just was there the other day, and he told this family. He said, you know, after I went off to high school, I saw a lot of my friends just give up the practice of Krishna consciousness, give up the whole culture. He said, but because I was connected to the Bhagavatam, he sells Bhagavatams door to door, and other books. He said, and because I was reading it, I knew it was real. I didn't buy into this idea that this culture is phantasmagoria that is presented in the secular schools and so forth. Manage a goal for the marathon every year, 20%. They do it themselves. They're doing hundreds of sets of Bhagavatams and Bhagavad Gitas. They're talking to all different kinds of ethnic groups. They're becoming expert at accounting, at leadership, management skills, what to speak of, learning how to communicate to people from all different cultures, from going out on book distribution. This kid Sankirtan is very profoundly important for communities. Not only knows what to do and what to expect and what attitude to have when they go out, then they're very eager to go out and do the service. This is a recent picture. And this is kind of a funny picture because, just to set it up, I told you about Alachua, how we got together and had this Sankirtan orientation session, and we started the first MSF in Alachua, Florida. So 80 devotees came out near Kula? Something like that. And we all went out to different parts of the area, set up all these colleges to train everybody in IT, and now India dominates the world in IT. So you do this deliberately. And this is one of the ways in which to have a whole continent become proficient, become an empire for distributing books. Shastra Dana, highly effective because especially householders have so much money they don't know what to do with it. And they just start finding ways to stash it. So if you offer them an opportunity to throw their money into a sacrificial fire, which is book distribution, then they'll be happy to bring out wheel. You know, he wears orange in there. He keeps his head shaved. And because that's what all the prisoners wear. They're extremely regulated. And they can't over-collect. They only keep a certain amount of things. I think, this ain't too bad, you know. Like, but still open the door. But the chaplain is the one I met, because you have to be accompanied by a chaplain to go in there. So he was a Christian from India. That was funny. And so we went in, I met him. I did the whole fire sacrifice by, you know, meditation. And a gesture and things like that is doing all over the UK. And she needs, anybody who wants to help, she needs volunteers just to help her in the infrastructure and to distribute these books. It's a wonderful service. Join her. Hare Krishna. Gita Jayanti. Don't miss it. Fundraise for Gita Jayanti, but do it in a smart way. I'll tell you how to fundraise a way that really works. And I had the pujaris put the beads on the lotus feet of the deities, or in their hands, or around their necks. And they were happy to do it. I was surprised. And then I also dipped them in every single coon, and I made a video of the whole thing. And we produced the video, and all we did was show the video and say, for $5,000 worth of Bhagavad Gita's, you can have this strand of beads. And they sold out immediately. So if you build an intangible, something that you can't get anywhere else, that is extreme, we didn't do it. I looked around and I realized, when something's gone in India, it's gone. There's no lost and found at Radhakund, I guarantee you. So I walked back to the ashram in Agumsha and just pretended that I was a sadhu. It was about a 2-hour walk. And when I got there, I immediately went to my locker and I gave the donation that I normally give at the end of Kartik. I gave it at the beginning. Because I realized, if you give away what you have before it's taken from you, com, that's the URL. Our family business is in its third printing. And Kirtan Oasis is another program. We're taking the Harinam Sankirtan to a new level. And just like when you do Ratha Yatra, people come into the environment and they get so excited about what's going on, they just ask, which books should I take? They're immediately swept up in the energy. So what we realize is you can create the same environment anywhere without spending £150,000, parlay into the last part of our seminar, which will include everyone standing up, and it'll be so outrageously fun that you'll forget any other engagements you may be thinking about right now. A few reflections. Anything you heard so far or a question? Of a Bhagavatam for any donation they give, because we develop a huge pool of Lakshmi and we can offer it to them for whatever they give. Then you get dozens of people stepping forward. We also have in America, you can look for this in many corporations, they have it's in the bylaws that the corporation has to give away a certain amount of Lakshmi cash in order to give back to the public. And if you have a bona fide, in any case, we thought, oh, that's finished. But even outside of Oracle, even though she's not an employee, she went back and had all her connections and did even bigger last year than she has in previous years. And now many other devotees are doing it in other corporations. Something. Yes, Prabhu?
Earlier I saw in one of the slides that Jehovah's Witness were such high numbers, and we've got 8.5 million of books on our side. But we also see them that they are so organized and...
The chart which you submitted. So I think if I get it correct, is that from there?
So that was the question. Yes. Should be part of the initiation system. Should be part of the...
Yes, and if you're not already, you should be in the management system. I would personally vote for you or recommend that you are. Thinking like that, like how to involve everybody is the duty of a management, and it's very helpful to the whole society when those kinds of things are implemented. Of course, you can't force any...
Do we have...
Yes.
Training programs made available for the devotees. What resources have we got for these?
Well, what we've been doing as the SOS, Sankirtan Orientation Session, remember I showed you earlier? We've done it on many continents around the world. We've done about 14 of them so far. They're invitationals. We started it at ISV and we invited people to come from any part of the world. Take 4 days, no cost. We'll put you up, we'll feed you, everything. All you had to do is get there. And we'll train every day. All these things can be compartmentalized and taught to people who want to know how to do them. And, for instance, selling sets of books door to door. We had a couple of devotees from our team go to Toronto and teach them how to do it. Before that, they didn't know how to do it. But after our team went there and trained them, now they're doing
Some weekends they're doing 10, 14 sets door to door. Because they just, basically you get a little confidence and you say, oh, this can be done. Now let me just try it. And once he wants to jump in and do something to participate. Okay, so now, how to sell a Bhagavad Gita on its own merit. Now, a disclaimer, there are many ways to sell Bhagavad Gitas. And many of you already know how to sell Bhagavad Gita. However, this is a template that I've created that works. I promise you it works. I've seen it hundreds of times. When I teach this to people who have never distributed a Bhagavad Gita before, and then we go out together, they get a card later. So you don't have to remember everything. I'll just give you a taste of what it's like, and you can follow the card. In fact, a little secret. When you go out and you follow the card, you can even take the card with you. When you stop people and you say, look, I'm in training, I don't know how to do this, but if you could just, you know, like help me out. People, they'll stop and they'll go, oh, yeah, sure, yeah, no problem. Yeah, go ahead, tell me, you know. And then you go through the whole thing, and you can even show them the card, and they'll go, no, say this one next. And then at the end, it's just, you know, I'll tell you the donation line that has evolved. In pictures?
Yes, Father, pictures are same.
Exactly?
Yes.
Okay. These are nice. Okay, so everything is in and on. So now, please read with me. Here's a list of protocol, the way to follow. So start at the top of the list together and read all the way down. Ready? Go. Radar, qualify, trust the hand, give a nutshell presentation, show and tell. So what you do is you select. You don't try to convince everybody, but you try to select. And here's how you do it. You use your radar. Your radar, by the way, is in your hand. Hold up your hand like this. You have hand power. You can't even believe how powerful you are. You didn't even know. You forgot. So now point it at somebody, because the beam comes right out of the palm of your hand. Don't point it at me. I can't handle it all. Come on, point it at somebody. And I'm going to give you the mantra to activate the beam. You ready? You repeat after me. One, two, three. Hi.
Hi.
Did you shoot it? You want to talk to him, right? Okay, here's another guy on the right. He's talking to Akinchana Krishna. This was taken years ago. What is his body language? The guy with a hat. Ripe or unripe? He happened to be a born-again Christian. He was, like, you know, explaining over and over again how Akinchana was going to hell. So, you got the unripe? Say unripe. Okay, now say ripe. Say it again. Faster. Faster. Japan, you tell you, and some, they'll tip their umbrella in front of their face so you can't see them. Ripe or unripe? So with an unripe fruit, here's what you do. You grab it from the tree, and it won't come off, so you pull the whole branch off and you drag it down the street. Is that correct? It's correct, right?
No.
Yes?
No.
Yes?
No.
You got to be more emphatic. Yes?
No.
Okay, correct. It's no. So ripe fruits come from Sankirtan teams and different ways to distribute books. If you've thought about going to an Arabic neighborhood and you haven't done it yet, allot your 20% of your time and go there and try it. You'll break into new avenues, multiple streams of income. You need that for stability. Our prime directive in going out on Sankirtan is to leave everyone with a good impression. What's our prime directive? Correct. We're going out as ambassadors of goodwill. We are in the service business. What object at them? And when the confused mind usually says no. So if they don't know why, the reason you're handing over this book to them, they're going to hesitate. So the way to overcome that obstacle is to qualify them. Here's an easy way to qualify people. You announce where you're from and ask where they're from. And wherever they're from, just qualify them to have a look at the book. I'm from California. Where are you from?
London.
I love London. Fantastic. Here, I'll show you one too. And I'm just about to hand you a book. Why? Anywhere you go, if you hand people things, you know, they'll just take it. So when you're meeting people face to face and you hand it over, you put it in their hand. Now, next thing is to use mantra. So when you're handing the book over, you got to tell them
why you're handing the book over. And here's a mantra that works. Books on yoga and meditation.
Books on yoga and meditation.
That show you how to get free from stress. Books on yoga and meditation. And it's just about to hit their hand, and I'm saying, books on yoga and meditation shows you how to get free from, as soon as it hits their hand, I'm saying stress. Okay? Now, here's a very important principle. I want you to make a question mark in the air with your hand. Do it. What does it look like? Question mark. It looks like a hook, and it's also a tennis racket. So, a hook, you can hold on to things. You can also pull things in the direction you want them to go. And a tennis racket means you put things back in thing that's about, I'm about to tell you. And it's actually an amazing thing I found. Let's say, Prabhu, what is your name?
Mike.
Where are you from?
Germany.
Let's say, Mike, on any given day, you know, let's say you come into the temple room and I come up to you and I say, Mike, you look tired. How do you feel? If I tell you you look tired, do you get a little mental?
Maybe.
If you know, you look spiritual. They all of a sudden they become self-realized, because the fact is, they are spiritual. They just forgot. And as soon as somebody, a stranger, comes up to them and says, "You know, you look spiritual," they start. You can watch them. They start going through this whole change, and they go like, oh my God, I am spiritual. I totally forgot. I'm from the spiritual world. It happens in various ways, but you'll notice it. It's very noticeable, because the soul is just sitting. It'll start to change, and right before your eyes, they'll like, oh my God. And then you say, what's your secret? That's like, I'm a disciple, and I'm approaching you and saying, you know, how do you do this? How did you become like so spiritual, like you are now? And then you'll notice a sea change in your relationship. And suddenly this person is starting to consider themselves on a different level. And their relationship changes towards you. They start to think of themselves as your benefactor. Anybody who's ever had contact with the Bhagavad Gita, feel free to throw out their names. I say, Thoreau, Emerson, Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, Tupac Shakur, they all read this book, because they did. And then I open to the middle of the book, and I say, look, can you read this? And I point to the Sanskrit, and what do they say?
No.
I can't read it. And I say, I was just testing you. It's translated in English, and it's been translated many, many times, that out of all the... Ask me first.
What does Kali mean to you?
You know, there's rainbows and rabbits, and just, you know, it's stuff. Things happen.
Whoa.
I really like the way you put things. If more people in the world thought like you, come on, work with me, the world would be a better place to live in. This is a very important part in your presentation, where you can appreciate them even more. And next, here, this is a very important mantra. You can use it at any time in your presentation, but this is an appropriate time. And then, so don't worry ever again in your life. Here you go. We don't sell it like in a bookstore. We only ask for a donation. We don't need the money. Watch my hand language. We don't need the money. The only reason we ask, when you give something in return for spiritual knowledge, it connects you to the previous teachers who have passed it down over many generations, and allows you to enter deeply within the wisdom. Okay. We don't sell it. Anything you give out of without is a donation. It will help them to help themselves by giving a donation. And sometimes if people say, I don't have any money, I say, that's all right, just give whatever you can. And then they'll go, really, anything is... Or they say, I don't have any money. They sell it again. They say, just give one penny. Just give a pence. And they go, I can't do that. And say, no, really do. And then they'll give 5 or 10 or 20 or something like that. You'll see. So there's some comebacks. They say, I already know all about this. Once they give the donation, then we ask them, do you believe in the power of prayer? Do you all believe in the power of prayer? Yes? Okay, then I'll teach you. Now say no. Do you believe in power of prayer?
No.
Perfect. I'll give you a mantra. So then you just switch it to a mantra from a prayer. It depends which country you're in. And then we give them a mantra card and we say, this prayer, wake up love for God in your heart, please repeat after me. Are you ready?
Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare.
Hare
Hare. Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Hare Rama.
Rama's empty-handed except the card that we gave out, how to distribute a Bhagavad Gita. And the speed at which you can do that without having a stampede and hurting anybody and getting to the room in an orderly way will be an indication of how your yatra will excel in the world, in world domination of book distribution. Are you ready?
Yes.
On your mark? Get set? What?
So just before you go, we don't have that many cards, but you can take a picture of the card as well and then use it on...
Yeah. Nickel. Nickel. Well, is there a microphone that'll work in there? Okay.
Actually, there is actually with the altars.
There is?
Yeah.
Is it hard to set up? Okay. Now, I want you to just take a look over here. Look at me, please. Sorry for that. Now, when you're out distributing books, wherever you are, if you hold the book like this and you're walking around, people will see you from a mile away and they'll notice that, you know, they're going to come after me. So don't telegraph. Keep the book under your arm like this. Put the book under your arm. And see how I'm standing? I'm standing back. Cool as a cucumber in an icebox. So, look... Henry David Thoreau, Ralph Waldo Emerson, Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Albert Einstein, the Beatles, Tupac Shakur, they all read this. Can you read this?
No. What's that?
Yeah, it's Sanskrit. It's all been translated in English. I was just testing you. See, this has been translated many, many times from Sanskrit and English, and of all the translations, this has become the most popular academically. You've heard of Georgetown University, USC?
No.
University of what have they got in Germany? German
euros.
Euros. Okay. They cost about 10 euros to print. Anything you give over that is a donation.
Okay.
Thank you very, very much. And do you believe in the power of prayer?
Yes.
Okay, now let the record show I'm handing him a mantra card. So this is a beautiful prayer from Sanskrit. It's meant to wake up pure love for God within your heart. And so I'll say it one time and you can read obstacles. That's not the point of this. The point is to try to get the person through the whole script as smoothly as possible. So coach them on. If they forget one part, then you can look at the card and say, you know, do this and then this and then this. And you can move it along, okay? Are you ready? Don't worry if you make mistakes. Just try to go through all the way of one person to the next. And then, as soon as you can, switch and go the other way. And then we're going to stop and we're going to meet just for a few minutes for some last words. Okay? Any questions before you start? Any anomalies or any objections also? Very rarely do people ask these kinds of things. We put them in our mind like this is a big deal if somebody says it, but it barely ever happens. When it does, I'll tell you how to deal with it later. Okay? One just general comment is when somebody asks you a question and you're not sure what to say, ask a question back. Because remember I said questions are like a tennis racket, so you hit it back at them. And if you don't know what question to ask, just ask this question. How do you mean that?
As you can see on this banner here, we have the Gita Project, which Radhadas is overheading and overseeing. We have Sacred Street Party, Gaumatsya, the monthly Sankirtan festivals, supermarket Sankirtan, door-to-door Sankirtan, and obviously the kids Sankirtan, right? Obviously, as the whole thing's growing, expanding around the manor is quite big, it's quite difficult to manage. One devotee who's actually helped out a lot and put a lot of effort into organizing, facilitating, managing, inspiring the whole congregation is actually His Grace Darvesh Prabhu. So we can get...
We're starting all this for door-to-door. We're trying to put together something that everybody can join from the whole community.
So,
Okay, I think the slides are cutting off a bit. Just bear with me 1 minute. Sorry. Yes, it's cutting off. So
it's fine. Just yeah. Speak up.
Okay, we'll just do without the as you like. You could do an hour a week or an hour every fortnight, and beginnings can be from your own doorstep. So you could go around to your own street initially and then expand as you go along and get more comfortable with the whole door-to-door distribution. If you feel up to the challenge, we're encouraging leaders to come up in every city. So take the if you take up the challenge, and you can start leading groups within your own city, within your own areas, and that way we kind of collaborate and start. In a span of about 8 months, we've covered 150 streets. Again, the database is key to this, so we're marking out streets, doors we've knocked. So yeah, we'd like everyone to encourage, and if you'd like more information, come and speak to the rest of the team. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Okay, so I'd like to invite Hare Krishna Prabhu. Keshav Prabhu said, anybody interested in going door-to-door, anybody wants to start in the community, please see him and his good wife, Kalavati Mataji, who's right at the back.
Very, very successful. Advantage is like you look bona fide rather than stopping people on the street because you are within the premises. They think, you know, the store must have done some background checking and we're not giving money to somebody on the street. So that way it's very, we look bona fide. And so last year we did 4 stores. This year we're targeting 8 stores. We already done Sankirtan from various Morrisons. If, you know, we have been, because we live in Harrow, we have tried mostly around the Harrow area, Wembley. But if people from all over London, they participate, then it can expand really big. And as you can see, there is very high success rate, and we can distribute lots and lots of books.
We do a book, not a book table.
We do a table.
So the sample of the book table is right there. This is our brand new table, which we are trying to improve the presentation in supermarkets.
I want that every respectable person has a full set of Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita in their home. So since last year, June, we've been focusing on fulfilling this desire of Srila Prabhupada. And thus far, we've distributed 165 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. And coupled to that, we've also hosted an advocate date. As Vaisheshika Prabhu was mentioning, there's 3 levels. One strategy was door-to-door. And for the very first time in the United Kingdom, during the December book marathon, we managed to distribute 1 set of Srimad Bhagavatam. So that's given us the confidence that it can be done, and it should be done. So we're looking for devotees to come with us on this door-to-door campaign. Then we've done presentations at schools, like in this particular school, Avanti School. End of year, we've done a presentation to the parents, and we've gone to many schools, and we've distributed. We found that when they invite their families and friends for the installation ceremony, we get one of them to also take a set, which is very nice. And in every festival, we have a Gomatsya table. And last year, we did a Bhadra campaign. We'll be a bit more organized this year. Further strategies, we want to approach religious organizations and groups. There are many, many temples, many groups that meet religious organizations. We want to connect with them and do presentations. We want to go into the universe. 3 people you know within your circle, you can introduce them and we can train you of how we do it. And lastly, we need many organizers in the various areas. You can become an organizer. Start a reading club in your area. Identify and make contact and do presentations with religious organizations within your area, temples or anything like that. We need help on festivals and on Sunday. We've got a roster for devotees to man the tables. And
really quick presentation, because I was told to. It was a really quick presentation, as I was told to be super quick, so I'll try my best. So, shouldn't take too long. I'll just start anyway. The first slide, all it says is where do we place the book? able to get it up? Kids, or they're busy at work and they've got a few minutes during lunchtime at work, then this is for you, because you can take a few minutes and you can place these books. And that's all it takes, just a few minutes. And we have a very inspiring devotee as part of our project, and he's been paralyzed from the neck down for many years, and he's not been able to leave his house. And he's been placing books from his home, not only placing books, but actually organizing deliveries to places over the last few years. And that's very inspiring to see, that you don't even need... So in the last 3.5 years, we've placed over 21,000 books. And this is actually the efforts of people that have taken time out during a few minutes during lunchtime. So we have one devotee from the manor, who he's not here at the moment, but he didn't have time to go out on books, but he really wanted to place them. So a few times a week during his lunchtime, he would make calls to secondary school if we could place Prabhupada's Gita in all the Crown and Magistrates' Courts in England and Wales. So they now all have Prabhupada's Gita, which were never there present. So that's just one example. Sorry, I'm really rushing forward through this. The next slide, Prabhuji. And feedback. Feedback is the sweetest part and aspect of this project, really. At the top, we have a very appreciative letter from Mr. Shoebridge. He's the head of an RE department in a secondary school. And he placed quite a lot of Gitas and different books in a prison. And we received a letter from the prison officer to say thank you for the generous donation. She had placed them in the chaplain's office and also in the library. And she'd also put them out on tables. So we give extra books for them to put out on the tables with a note to say, please take these books on yoga and meditation. And she said they've been going out a few every week. And then a few months later, we received this letter from an inmate who had come across Prabhupada's book. And one...
First of all, I'd like to thank Vaisheshika Prabhu, because the smart books idea is something that's come from Silicon Valley. Let me just get a couple of boxes.
Yes. One hand. Here they are.
Okay. Hi, Krishna, everybody. So, sorry, Prabhu, can we just wait for 2 minutes? I'm just about to finish we can take questions. So, we all had an opportunity to go through the presentation and a little bit of a practical demo, which we just had in the room, how to distribute a Bhagavad Gita. But we also thought, normally what happens is when we have all the Lakshmi which you collect from these books, because these books are from the Rath Yatra department, they need to go to Rasika Mataji. Please remember that in the information tent. So when you take the books out, distribute them in the procession, or even while you are at Trafalgar Square, but give the Lakshmi to Rasika Mataji, and you can take the bag home with you and try and use this in the Sankirtan activities which you do in your place. We also have, because it's a very special day today, it's Nirjal Ekadashi, so although many devotees may not, on Saturday we are going to have a monthly...
Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, hey! Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.